usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask that you hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us a very special guest. And his name is Gary Caw, and Gary Caw used to work for the state of Indiana, travel around the world, and of course trying to get business for the companies in Indiana. And as he did, he began to find out that people were talking about this idea of a new world order. And he didn't know what a new world order was, like most people. And then as he began to investigate it and study it, he began to realize what they were talking about was the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation and merging us into this one world system where we would have the same freedoms that exist in, oh, in Uganda and in Vietnam and in Korea, North Korea and in Cuba today. And this just didn't make sense to him. And so he began talking about it, and he was given an offer, you know, either keep quiet and stop talking about it or leave your job. And well, he did the foolish thing. He quit his job, and he's been in a ministry going around the world ever since then, trying to make people understand what's going on. And there's no person that has a better grasp of what's really at the very root of this move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion than our guest this afternoon, Gary Caw. Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Have you ever regretted giving up that comfortable government job with all those perks and security for the life of a missionary trying to tell people that there's a real problem when nobody wants to hear it?
Well, it definitely was an easier life the way it was, but I know I did the right thing, and so I've never really looked back, no.
Well, I know you did the right thing, and of course God calls certain people to do things, and I think he's called you to be out there. And why don't you tell our listeners, you've been all over the world already giving talks in this last few months. A lot of people throughout the world realize what's going on. They know a lot more about what's going on than the people here in America, don't they?
Well, in some places, that's true, yeah. The believers over in England, of course, they've been fighting a real battle for many years, and things are even further along over there toward a new world order than here. For example, they have elevated in England paganism, the whole area of witchcraft, New Age, to the status of an official religion. And they have a law over there that says you can no longer speak out against any religion. So one of the talk shows I did, this was just 2 weeks ago on Premier Radio, I was advised before I went on what I could and couldn't say, because if they had one more infringement, they'd be knocked off the air. So you have to be very careful of how you say things and what you say. They've basically, in England, they've lost freedom of speech. But because of that, the Christians over there, and they are small in number, but they, the ones who are taking a stand, are doing so fairly well informed. In fact, I was amazed at some of the things I learned while I was in England that I did not know or hear about when I was here in the United States. Another place I was at, this was back in May, was in India for 10 or 11 days. I would have to be there on the hottest days of the year. It was 107 degrees Fahrenheit the day I got there, and 117 the last day that I spoke there. I don't know how those people do it, but just existing there is a major ordeal. I lost 10 pounds in 10 days, so my wife would like to send me back once a year just for weight loss programs, nothing else. But the people were wonderful, dear saints in the Lord, and I got to be good friends with two of the pastor's sons, the pastor who organized my trip, and one of them is basically a technological genius. He is right up there near the top in India and what he can do and the education and the skills that he has. And yet, because he is a Christian, the Hindus over there have suppressed him so that he cannot climb up the ladder. And so he's making it on very minimal type of wages where they can barely exist, even though he has all these skills. He can take a computer apart, put it back together, program it, do all kinds of things, but he can't hold down a regular job. So they haven't been persecuted to the point of physical persecution. But if you are a Christian over there, you're gonna meet some resistance. And we in this country, we've had it so good for so long, you know, we can hardly even relate to that type of life.
Well, of course, in the name of fighting terrorism, we're going to see many of the same changes brought in here. And there really are people in key positions in government and certainly throughout society who hate Christians and hate Christianity. And, of course, in the name of fighting terrorism, you can put in all sorts of restrictions on individual freedom in the name of fighting terrorism. And yet we're really not fighting terrorism. We haven't sealed our borders. We're still bringing people in from terrorist countries. They make a big play. They arrest a couple of guys here or a couple of guys there. But our real overall policy has never been to fight terrorism, but to use terrorism to justify all sorts of laws as we move, first of all, towards ever-increasing autocratic control here at home, and then, of course, into this Third World War, which is really, I shouldn't be frightened. I think we knew the war was coming, but, of course, the incredible thing to me is how gullible the American people are to be willing to go along with the idea of a preemptive strike, because if we don't, why Saddam Hussein may very well attack our own communities.
You know, if our leaders were truly serious about terrorism, the first thing we should do is stop buying oil from Iraq.
Right.
The idea that we're still buying oil from Iraq to the tune of millions of dollars a day right now when we are their arch enemy, that makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, before you go in and invade a country, you implement economic sanctions, and not only against Iraq, but some of the other countries in the Middle East that are sponsoring terrorism, especially when we have enough oil for the next 50 years on our own shores up in Alaska and in other places. It doesn't make any sense. It appears to me that the game plan for the last 20 or 30 years at least has been to make us interdependent upon the other countries of the world so that we could not afford to be independent. And by tightening the screws in that fashion economically, through that somehow try to convince the people that we need the Arab countries for oil and to go along with things.
All right, fine. We're going to have to take a quick break here, and when we get back, we'll talk about the New World Order. Well, this is Arthur Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you once again that we carry certain products we think are really very, very good, and we certainly hope that you'll want to consider getting them. One of them, of course, is something called Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a board game. It's played like Monopoly, but it teaches children to read phonetically, to pronounce words phonetically, and, of course, to spell phonetically. And it's basically not one game. It's five board games, two bonus games, and a couple of books. It's $139.95, and in about 16 to 20 hours, you can actually reprogram a child's mind and undo all the harm that the government schools have done in deliberately dumbing them down, and they really have. The experts in the field know that children who learn to read phonetically can read well. At the beginning of the 20th century, at the beginning of the 19th century, we had a 95% literacy rate, and now we have 100 million people who are partially or totally functionally illiterate. That didn't happen by accident. Phonopoly, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, what a wonderful, wonderful Christmas gift for any child, the gift of the ability to read. And then, of course, the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, great for getting your children out of government schools. And for $199.95, you will have the information on 22 CDs that will allow you to take your children from a grammar school all the way through high school graduation. You have the lesson plans, you have the tests, you have the textbooks. The only thing you have to buy separate are the Saxon math books, and those are available at a discount from Robinson, Dr. Robinson. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, either for additional information or to buy the Robinson system or Phonopoly. Four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Gary Carr, and of course, we're going to be talking about the move towards the one world government, because I think that the war, everything going on, really is moving us towards the one world government. Would you agree with that, Gary?
Yes, I believe that the First World War led to the League of Nations, the Second World War led to the United Nations. It appears now that possibly a Third World War, or at least a very large regional conflict, if not an all-out Third World War, could pave the way to go into a full-blown world government. In fact, these kinds of things were written about even as far back as the late 1800s by some of the leaders of Freemasonry, specifically Albert Pike. And, you know, some people have been calling me lately. They said, you know, I reread your book, In Roots of Global Occupation, that came out 11 years ago. How did you know all of this was going to happen? And the thing is, I didn't. All I did was quote from some of these societies saying what they were going to do, and they're doing just that. We're seeing these things happen almost like clockwork. So I think part of the agenda is to bring about change through a crisis. People are always much more willing to accept major changes on the heels of an international crisis. And all it would take, imagine, Stan, if one nuclear bomb, just one, was dropped on a Western country or on Israel by Iraq or by any of these countries in the Middle East. Several of them now have nuclear bombs. I know for a fact that as of February of 1991, right after the Persian Gulf War, Iraq had 4 nuclear weapons. This was made known on Nightline with Ted Koppel in an interview with one of our top military officials. He said that he did not know if Iraq had the ability to properly deliver the nuclear weapon, but that he did have it. So today, this many years later, if he had it back then, I'm sure he's got even more sophisticated weapons now. And so we're going in there with a country that already has nuclear weapons, and if Saddam feels that it's time for the lights to go out for him and that the U.S. is going after him specifically this time, you know, that's something that should have been done a long time ago, because now the guy, I think, does have the weapons of mass destruction that Bush is saying we need to prevent him from getting. I think he already has them. And you know, what would you do if you were in a situation where you're backed into a corner? I would think that Saddam will do everything he can to try to use them. And if he does, you know, in the Middle East, it's going to be a real powder keg. You just hope for the best. You keep hoping that somehow God will work through this and block certain efforts. But yet, studying history and seeing how things have worked in the past and knowing what I do about Saddam Hussein and some of his allies in the Middle East and the way we're going into this whole thing, you just cringe, because you think the United States, sooner or later, is going to get it. You know, and New York City, I think, was a prelude to something much bigger to come upon this country, and it grieves me to say that, but that is honestly what I sense in my spirit, and I think the research would bear that out. If these were all a bunch of quacks running around making predictions, that's one thing, but the same people that talked about a Third World War triggered by Islam wrote about a First and a Second World War and the institutions that would follow. And Stan, when I was in England 2 weeks ago, the pastor there who organized the conference put up on the screen when he was giving a presentation 10 or 12 points that Alice Bailey, the mother of the New Age movement, made something like 70 or 80 years ago of what their goals were. and every one of them had been accomplished.
Now, why don't you tell our listeners who Alice Bailey was, because she's one of the key figures. Of course, Barbara Walters and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw aren't going to tell you about Alice Bailey, and you're not going to learn this about in our schools or universities, at least most of them. Who was Alice Bailey, and why is she a pivotal figure in modern-day America?
Alice Bailey and her husband, Foster Bailey, were very instrumental in the early occult New Age movement, beginning around from 1910 to 1920, 1930, right in there. A lot of her writings came out right before World War II, during the war and right after the war. She was the leader of the Theosophical Society at one point in time. That organization was also very influential in spawning a number of other organizations. Bailey herself founded Lucifer Publishing Company in 1922. She changed the name 2 years later to Lucis Trust. Some people have wanted to see the evidence for that, and so we do have it in my new book, The New World Religion, in Exhibit C. We actually reproduce one of the title pages from one of her first books before the name was changed, and it says Lucifer Publishing Company, 135 Broadway, New York City. Some of this stuff is unbelievable, and it's more unbelievable because we never hear about it through the mass media, and people have become so accustomed to living or dying by what the mass media says. So if somebody comes along and says something brand new that's different, they think this can't possibly be happening. But it is.
Now, didn't she actually talk about points of light? Wasn't that one of her phrases?
Yes, she did. She basically coined that term.
And of course, we remember the George Herbert Walker Bush and his thousand points of light. And most people thought, gee, isn't that nice? That's a nice phrase. But they didn't know where it came from. It came from Alice Bailey, of course, who was a Luciferian.
That's right. And Lucifer, of course, is viewed as being the bearer of light, the source of inspiration. And so the word and the name Lucifer are sprinkled throughout the various writings of Bailey and many of her followers. The interesting thing, Stan, is that Lucifer Publishing Company had a fair amount of influence over the Council on Foreign Relations, the founding of that organization. And we, of course, know now that the Council on Foreign Relations was very instrumental in laying the groundwork for the United Nations. The money for the UN came largely from the Rockefeller Foundation, or the Rockefeller family. They donated the land upon which the UN is built, and I think the land, if I recall, was estimated to be valued at around $8 million at the time that they donated it. So you've got the same group of people, largely, that was responsible for founding the Federal Reserve System that ended up founding the Council on Foreign Relations, influenced by Lucifer Publishing Company. And those two organizations together influenced the founding of the United Nations. Now, to drive that home, because some people might say, even if it is true, that was back then, that was 80 years ago when Lucifer Publishing Company was founded, what about today? Well, a friend of mine, Jamie Brendan, I'm going to use his alias name. Stan, you know of him. He worked for me for a few years and going into meetings and getting information because I can no longer go to these kinds of meetings. He attended a meeting 2 years ago this past May at the United Nations. It's called the UN Millennium Forum. This was a meeting kicked off by Kofi Annan himself. And at this meeting, Lucifer Publishing Company, or I should say Lucis Trust as they're now called, was handing out copies of an occult prayer. They call it the Great Invocation. And they were convincing the delegates there that if they pray this prayer in unison regularly, that it would speed up the coming of the Christ.
And of course, their Christ is not the Christ that we worship.
Exactly. I believe it's a direct reference to the Antichrist. Right. They were actually handing this out at this UN conference and with their full permission, and had a major booth table out in the lobby area. And the only people that were allowed into that meeting were people that were approved through the organization that was overseeing the organizing of that particular meeting at the UN. And it gets pretty interesting here, too, because the group that organized the meeting was Franciscans International. So my friend who attended this meeting had to be cleared through Franciscans International, who handled the registration process for a closed-door meeting at the United Nations with people like Kofi Annan and a few hundred other leaders of various organizations, and Lucis Trust was one of the organizations there. So interesting stuff going on behind the scenes, but I guarantee you, will not hear about this through the news media. And again, the only reason I know about this is because of the friends that we have, both in the military and the economic realm, a couple of them within the State Department itself and other places that funnel information to us, hoping that we can do something with it and get it out.
And of course, Gary does a great job. In fact, how can people get in touch with your ministry and get your excellent newsletter?
If people would like to stay abreast of these types of developments and would like to receive our newsletter, you can dial our order line at 317-290-HOPE. That's 317-290-4673. Or you can write to us as well at Hope for the World, P.O. Box 899, Noblesville, Indiana, and the zip code is 46061. And we also have some videotapes. We come out with new videotapes about every 6 months or so. So if people are interested in that, if they don't like to read, they can be informed in that way.
And, of course, we carry The New World Religions by Gary Carr. We carry his En Route to Global Occupation. We have his books. You need to get them. You need to read them. They are certainly one of the best sources of information for an understanding of the fact that the major thrust of our leaders, whether they be Republicans or Democrats, is a world government, the New World Order. And that is the major thrust of every Luciferian in the world today. And we take their publications, the Lucis Trust, Share International, put out by Benjamin Krim. All of them will tell us how wonderful it's going to be when we have this world government. What do they know that the average American doesn't know about what lies ahead? Well, right now we're going to have to take another break, and I just want to mention that if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to help us, one of the things you could change over your long-distance carrier, the Promise Vision, because, of course, when you do, 15% of whatever your long-distance bill is will come back to us. You call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631, and when you do, you get a real live person. Their service is excellent. You can get phone cards. You can prices are very competitive, and we've been very, very happy with them. And not only that, but the people that we know have trained over the Promise Vision have been very happy. And of course, why we get 15% of whatever your long distance bill is, and this helps us do what we do. Again, our telephone, the number to call is 866-448-5631. Then, of course, we want to mention the Miracle 2 soap products, which we carry. And we can't make any medical claims for them, but we can tell you that many of our listeners who call in will tell us the things that have happened. We had a lady call the other day with chronic psoriasis, and she is just so happy. In fact, she wants to be a dealer for this herself, but it's helped her so much and helped her psoriasis. We have other people who tell us that it's helped this, that, or the other thing, items. If you'd like more information, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Or if you'd like, of course, to get the samples of this, or I should say of the introductory packet, give us a call. You get the soap, the moisturizing soap, the lotion, the gel, and the neutralizer for $74.95 plus shipping. And we've used them for well over a year. We're very happy with them. And I will tell you that we've had just wonderful glowing results from the people. Again, it's called Miracle 2 Soap Products, and you get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. And again, if you'd like to get Gary Carr's books, En Route to Global Occupation, or New World Religions, call that same number now. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not not think clearly or would respond normally. WACO, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is Gary Call of Hope for the World Ministry. And, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, Gary has been studying this move towards world government for a long period of time. And, of course, one of the reasons, in my estimation, why we have going through this whole scripted process, and I believe everything you're seeing is laid out long, long, long ago, is to get us into the third international conflict, major conflict, to bring about this new world order. Now, what was this letter you talk about that was written by Albert Pike in the 1870s talking about the Third World War? I mean, here, the 1870s, the First World War hadn't even occurred yet. And yes, and yet, of course, you're talking, he was talking then about a Third World War?
Right. I wrote about this in my book, In Roots of Global Occupation, and last year, right after 9/11, I put out an article called America's Wake-Up Call, which we have posted that on our website, so people can take a look at that if they'd like to, at garycaw.org. Again, my name is spelled G-A-R-Y-K-A-H, garycaw.org. I'm just going to read a portion of it here. I wrote, the fact is secret societies have an ultimate goal. This is why they exist and why they are secret. On pages 145 and 144 and 145 of En Route to Global Occupation, I wrote about their hidden agenda, and I quote, in August 1871, Albert Pike, the head of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, described a distant final war which he felt would be necessary to usher in the New World Order. According to Pike, this conflict between two future superpowers would be sparked by first igniting a crisis between Islam and Judaism. He went on to state, and now I quote him directly, we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a great social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to all nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and of most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere, the people, forced to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitudes, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will be from that moment on without direction and leadership, anxious for an ideal but without knowledge where to send its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer brought finally out into public view, a manifestation which will result from a general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time, end quote. Then I went on, I said, should such a crisis be permitted to occur, the amount of destruction would be staggering. Humanity would tremble with fear, believing that man is about to destroy himself. It would be a time of despair and mass confusion. Add to this the resulting chaos of global financial markets, which are already on the brink of disaster. The economic turmoil would only contribute to the world state of panic. Once such a war began, there would be no guarantee that the United States or Europe would remain entirely unscathed. I wrote that back in 1987, and the book went to print in 1991. Recently in England, Stan, I wish I would have had more time. I had about an hour and a half of time during the day that I was in London and meeting with people there to try to track down the actual letter, this letter that was written by Albert Pike between him and I believe it was Mazzini.
Mazzini, right.
And I think if I would have had more time, I would have been able to track it down. I wanted to actually see it with my own eyes. And a contact of ours said it was on display at the British Museum in London. The problem is you have to have the exact title of it because they have everything coded by numbers, and in order to look it up, you have to have the exact title that it's filed under. So you have to be able to spend enough time there to find that. But I came across that through a friend back in the 1980s, the fact that that letter existed. And it's somewhere in London. Anyway.
Let me tell you an interesting story. I called a friend who has written about this same letter, and I asked him if he'd ever seen it. He said, well, he knew he had a man who had a copy. And, of course, he had died, but the man who was very closely affiliated with him had the copy, and they were to meet in Seattle, I think it was, and he was going to get a copy. And, of course, the man was coming from Canada. And, interesting enough, just 2 days before he was to arrive, why, he mysteriously died. And, of course, my friend didn't get the copy of the letter. But, of course, I think as people begin to delve into this and try to get the documentation, they come up with very strange accidents. People say, oh, that couldn't happen. You'd believe it if you saw it on television in a make-believe novel, but you wouldn't believe it could happen in real life. We're talking about people who worship Lucifer. And, of course, the one thing they have to do is keep the stupid Christians, the Christians asleep, just a little bit longer, until suddenly everything they believe is destroyed. And then they suddenly realize that much of what they've been told has not been true. This is not to disparage Christianity. I believe in Christianity. But there's been an awful lot of false gospel put out there and a false doctrine put out to confuse Christians and make them simply neutral, make them refuse to take a stand in times of crisis, as I believe the Lord wants them to do. And instead of leading the battle to expose this spiritual battle, most of them are just sitting at home doing absolutely nothing, leading the good life, while a few people like Gary are out there on the front lines, risking everything, trying to inform people about what's really going on and about the true nature of the spiritual battle, which will soon engulf us.
You know, Alice Bailey, who we were talking about earlier, in her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, she revealed that the Aquarian Age would be ushered in primarily through the efforts of three institutions, which combined would influence every major field of endeavor. These agents of change would be Freemasonry, the education establishment, and the apostate church. Bailey, with help from her spirit guide, she was a trance channeler, and I know it sounds bizarre, but she claimed that her spirit guide was called Dwal Kul. Whether she made all this up or whether she actually had this demonic encounter with the spirit being, her words stand. This is what she wrote. She, and I quote directly, she said, "The three main channels through which the preparation for the New Age is going on might be regarded as the church, the Masonic fraternity, and the educational field. All of them are as yet in relatively static condition, and all are as yet failing to meet the need and to respond to the inner pressure. But in all of these three movements, disciples of the great ones," and she has them capitalized, "are to be found, and they are steadily gathering momentum and will before long enter upon their designated task." She wrote this back in the 1940s. So, again, it shouldn't surprise us that the church has gone the direction that it's gone in. And we need to remind people who aren't Christians who might be listening that there is the true church, people who are staying faithful to Christ, who are willing to withstand persecution and be mocked for taking a stand for the truth. But a vast majority of churches in America today are not teaching the truth. In fact, they're the biggest cesspools that a person can get involved in. One good way to get really messed up is to go to a majority of the Bible seminaries in this country. In fact, it grieves me to say this, but the college that I graduated from that was once very solid today has, at least at last count, had three professors in the School of Theology teaching that all religions are pathways to God. That it doesn't matter if you're serving Buddha or Muhammad, as long as you have a higher idea of the existence of a God. And that is such utter nonsense, to try to compare the teachings of Jesus Christ with Muhammad and Buddha and say that they're the same when they're 180 degrees opposite. Jesus made statements that you either have to agree with or you have to reject them. He said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him, John 14:6. That's a strong statement. Now, if that was the only statement he made like that, you might be able to take it out of context somehow and say, well, he really didn't mean that. But he said the same thing over and over and over as recorded in the New Testament. Paul and Peter made similar remarks. And so we either believe it or we don't. We say Jesus Christ is a liar. That's what it comes down to. And you've got a very small percentage of Americans, I would say 5% or less today, that would say Jesus Christ is the only way, because we believe that what he said is true, that he is the only begotten Son of God. And the problem in the world today is this interfaithism, this coming together of the world's religions into this emerging new world order. And I think you're especially going to see this on the heels of a crisis in the Middle East afterwards, all in the name of reconciliation and peace and unity. And You know, Satan really is at work in a major way to think how far he's willing to go to bring this new world order about. But the Bible prophesied that this type of thing would take place in the last days, and so it, you know, to you and I, Stan, it's not a surprise because we read the Bible.
It's I mean, things are just falling into place so well. In fact, we have we call it an amazing clips. There are 3.5 hours of videos where you'll hear the world's leading Christian evangelist saying, "You don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven. You don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven." If you'd like to get the amazing clips, they're available through our ministry. Let's go to Ed, who's calling us from Aptos. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Hi, Doctor. I wanted to ask your guest, what's the title of his book that he had? He mentions Alice Bailey. Also, how does he spell his last name and the website again, please?
Okay. My book, the one that I deal with Alice Bailey in the most, would be The New World Religion.
Okay.
I touch on it in my first book, In Roots to Global Occupation, but I devote an entire, the better part of a chapter and an entire appendix section to Alice Bailey in The New World Religion. And my website is garycaw.org, and the last name is spelled K-A-H.
And Ed, we do carry that book, The New World Religion.
Thank
I think
you,
it's a very important book.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, let's go to Richard calling from Miami. Hi, Richard. How are you doing?
Dr. Stan, I think in the scenario of the end times, I think in Revelation chapter 14 is a key chapter in understanding, because it's a microcosm of what's going to happen on the very end, because the book of Revelation is not written in chronological order, but rather it repeats itself and then it amplifies what it said before. See, in 14:6 it says the gospel is going throughout the nations. Then Babylon will be destroyed. Then will come the mark of the beast, and whoever receives the marks of the beast will be condemned.
All right, fine. And of course, they're talking about right now, everybody's got to get a chip for identification, because we need that to fight those wicked terrorists, don't we?
Yes.
And we're even finding some Christian leaders who are saying, oh, go ahead and take the chip, you know. That's not the mark of the beast. We can guarantee it. But of course, what happens if they're wrong? Anything else, Richard?
Yeah, what I was going to mention is that Babylon, which I believe is probably New York in America, is going to be destroyed. After Babylon's destruction, will world government come? So out of chaos comes
chaos, right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're going to have to take a break. God bless you. Thanks. Good to hear from you, Richard. And that's Richard from Miami. But right now, of course, we're going to have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you who believe in what we're doing to help us as we try to move out in faith across America. And we have about 50 stations now that do hear at least some of our programming, 50 stations or different outlets across America. And what a wonderful opportunity it is in times like these to be able to talk to people and bring them the information they're not going to get it elsewhere. And, of course, with guests like Gary, who are so well-educated and being taken on trips throughout the world by people who want to hear what he has to say, and yet we need to have him here, right here at home, because the future of the world rests upon what happens here. And I feel tragically that we are plunging the world into this third terrible, terrible, terrible world war. And so basically, if you believe that there's a problem, you'd like to be part of our team. Remember, our number is 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month. We hope as much as you can afford, because we're going to send you our monthly newsletter. You'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. And, of course, we encourage you to copy the newsletter and copy the tapes and magnify our effort by getting it in other people's hands. Now, most people don't want to hear bad news, but it's far better that they hear it now. And they prepare themselves for difficult times and prepare themselves with their personal relationship with the Lord. Now, because, of course, things can happen and happen very quickly. And, of course, what terrible regret there must be for those who were always going to accept the Lord sometime in the future. But, of course, death intervened. What must be their regret? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a unique opportunity, and we hope many of you will join us in this epic struggle. It's a spiritual struggle being played out on a political and ideological and battlefield, and you can be part of our team. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-875-HIV war. And then tell others about our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can hear our program. It's 5 hours a day on the Internet, and you won't get anything accomplished, but you can hear the programs. Please tell others about the programs. Tell them about our website. Tell them about our radio programs. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Gary Kaw, his ministry, Hope for the World. Gary, why don't you get your telephone number and your address out just one more time?
Our phone number is 317-290-4673. Again, that's 317-290-4673, and that's our order line. And also, if you would like to write to us, you can do so at Hope for the World, P.O. Box 899, Noblesville, Indiana, 46061.
Okay, fine. And I can attest to the fact that Gary's newsletter is something I always look forward to reading. It's well done, and a tremendous amount of information there that you need in times like these. Well, you know, of course, watching this move towards world government, it certainly has advanced tremendously since you got started back in the late 1980s. Haven't you seen tremendous inroads made as far as our sovereignty, transfer of the authority of our duly elected representatives to this world body, and then, you know, of course, coming down the line as we move into this conflict, I can just see more and more people out of the chaos that will develop saying, gee, we have to have a world government. Let's give up our sovereignty, anything in the name of security.
Yeah, when I started out, when I was working for the government back in the 1980s and began researching this, a determined person could pretty much on their own stay on top of the most major developments within the One World Movement. And I tried to do so, and I felt like I was pretty much on top of it. Today, it's virtually impossible. It's a full-time job just to stay on top of everything going on within the environmental aspect of the One World Movement, let alone the economic developments, the political developments, the military developments. And it's gone into fast-forward, really, since the early 1990s, ever since the Persian Gulf War. And I kind of looked back at the 1990s being the decade of laying the foundation for the New World Order. The year 2000 was a big coming-out celebration for many of these organizations pushing this agenda, and the years 2001 and 2002 now have us at the implementation stage. And I jotted down a list of things that have happened so far this year, just a few key things that I was sharing in England. I'm just going to run through these very quickly. January 1st, the euro was born, uniting Europe with a single currency. We were in Germany and France in May and June, and to drive across the border from Germany into France without any checkpoint, nothing. I mean, you know, it's like going from California to Arizona. You wouldn't have known that you went from one place to another had it not said welcome to France. Truly amazing. And to be able to use the same currency in both Germany and France, given the history of war between those countries. This is an incredible development toward unification of Europe and ultimately unification of the world. Then on January 24th, Pope John Paul II had the leaders of more than 200 religions meet together in Assisi, Italy. He being at the center of that meeting and trying to get the religions to come closer together toward unification. Then from a political standpoint, in March, I believe it was late March, sometime in the spring, Switzerland became the last country on Earth to officially join the United Nations. That was a huge development. A lot of people thought that would never happen. On June 2nd, Gorbachev visited England, spoke to some of the top leaders of that country, openly calling for a new world order.
And I think for our listeners, Gorbachev is deeply involved. He's a Mason. He's deeply involved in the occult, isn't he?
Heavily involved in all of this, right. And regularly visits England and the United States and is on the lecture circuit now, kind of drumming up support for his Earth Charter, which was going to be the next point I was going to make. From September 2nd through the 11th, the Earth Summit, Rio Plus 10, it was called, was held in Johannesburg, South Africa. Of course, it was just a couple weeks ago. And at that meeting, Gorbachev's Earth Charter, handwritten on papyrus, was placed inside of, it looked kind of like a coffin, wood on the outside, painted. It really was intended to mimic the Ark of the Covenant, and they called it the Ark of Hope. And they placed a copy of the Earth Charter inside that Ark of Hope and paraded around with it at the Earth Summit in Johannesburg. I guarantee you, the major networks in this country didn't cover that, but I did hear about it in England when I was there. And what blew me away was, before the Earth Summit, it was on display for 2 months at the United Nations.
And, of course, the Earth Charter is really to replace the Ten Commandments. We won't need those anymore in this wonderful world that's coming.
Well, and Gorbachev has referred to them as a type of new Ten Commandments.
Right.
And Maurice Strong, the U.N.'s top environmental figure, has referred to the Earth Charter as a new Magna Carta, a type of Magna Carta for planet Earth. So take your pick, whether you call it the Ten Commandments, a Magna Carta for planet Earth, or a new Sermon on the Mount, which is another reference that came from Gorbachev. They're using a lot of religious overtones to describe this particular document, which, if Gorbachev has his way, would be the pinnacle document over the New World Order. But, I mean, think about it, Stan, the fact that this was being carried around in a type of Ark of the Covenant. But instead of the Ten Commandments being the side, you have the Earth Charter. And it doesn't get a shred of media coverage in this country. And prior to that, it was on display for 2 months at the United Nations. So, you know, I keep thinking what skeptics must be thinking hearing this. They must think, well, these are a few quacks maybe that were running around at the Earth Summit. Well, it was several hundred delegates. And again, if that isn't enough, the fact that, you know, the UN endorsed it and had it there for 2 months, and that Kofi Annan and all the top UN figures are giving a platform to the Earth Charter and are supporting Gorbachev, and that Stephen Rockefeller is on the board of directors with Gorbachev. And
I think that's one of the most important things, because, you see, the Rockefellers are always in behind the scenes. They're never out in front. But Rockefeller was very much involved in writing the Earth Charter, and he represents the Rockefeller family, this fabulously wealthy family, probably the most wealthy family in the world today. And, of course, they're funding this whole world Luciferian movement. Gee, I wonder how they got all their money. Maybe, do you think they might have sold their souls to somebody? This family is involved in this whole occult world movement towards world government. They provided the land where the United Nations sits today. The writings of Barbara Marks Hubbard, financed by the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. And this is, frankly, Luciferian. If you haven't read her book, Barbara Marks Hubbard's book, the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, where she rewrites the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, it's amazing how they got their money, how Congress fought it. Back in as early as the 1890s, Congress took the Rockefeller family to task, because already at that time they were refining 90% of the oil in the United States and had gained a monopoly, and Congress tried to break it up. But no sooner had they done so that it was discovered that most of the new companies that were formed had Rockefeller allies sitting on the board of directors, and has calculated that in many of the cases they owned over 20% of the stock for those new companies. And so they've always been able to stay a step ahead, it seems like. And, of course, Nelson Aldrich, the maternal grandfather of today's Rockefeller brothers, helped draft the Owen Glass Act, which later came to be known as the Federal Reserve Act. And so, you know, the family goes way back, and they are extremely wealthy, but by no means are they the only funders of the One World Movement, but they're probably the largest funders, I would say, at least over the last 70 to 80 years of this. You've got people like Ted Turner involved. He just gave $1 billion to the United Nations 2 years ago. You have a lot of the world's political figures. In fact, this is something that my Jewish friends need to be aware of. And I was taken aback when I saw that Shimon Peres of Israel is on the board of directors of Mikhail Gorbachev. And I found that out when last June, Gorbachev, in a city called Urbino, Italy, about 130 miles northeast of Rome, was there to officially unveil the Earth Charter, and Shimon Peres was one of the people there, along with Stephen Rockefeller. So you've got top Arab leaders who sit on the board of directors and are vice presidents of banks like Citibank and Chase Manhattan, and then you also have some of the leaders in Israel. And so they're totally covering the bases. And if you watch the news carefully, you will notice that Ariel Sharon is doing what he can to defend Israel's sovereignty and to not go along with the United Nations. But Shimon Peres is much more willing to get in line with the UN and blow the trumpet of the One World Movement. And so there's a real rift politically that has emerged in Israel, and they're fighting the same battle there that we are here in this country, with some of our leaders being in favor of the New World Order and others being opposed to it. And so I think in the next 8 months, between now and late spring, I think we're going to see a lot of this come to a head as we have never before. And they're simply tired of messing around. I'm talking about the leading figures in the New World Order, and they're ready to make things happen now, and I think they're going to try everything they can to push it on us.
I think everything is in place now. It's just a matter of implementing it, and of course an awful lot of people, I believe, are going to die before this is all over. But of course, from their point of view, it's all worth it, because what a wonderful dream, a new world order and a new world religion. And of course, the ultimate goal, the destruction of Christianity, conventional Christianity.
Stan, I thank the Lord for allowing passages of Scripture into the Bible, such as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Which says so emphatically that there would be a time when the man of lawlessness would take his seat of power, but that after a short time he would be destroyed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in fact, the exact wording is that he would be overthrown by the breath of his mouth and destroyed by the splendor of his coming.
And that, of course, is our hope, that is our promise, and that was, of course, what we must look to. Anyway, God bless you, Gary. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And that was, of course, Gary Kaw of Hope for the World Ministry, and we hope that you've enjoyed the program, because the promise is, of course, that this is a spiritual battle, and whatever happens, God will be there for those who are truly faithful to him. Just make sure you are faithful and that you are one of his children, and because that is our job, is to help people to draw closer to him, because that will be indeed the hope of the world. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for leaders, to pray for peace, because the last thing we want is this terrible war that has been planned. If we need revival, and if there's any way to reach the soul of the American people, then we must endeavor to do that. And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our families, for those who work for us, and for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, may the Lord be with you.
message. Somebody put a red flashing thing up on the screen.
Really?
You
never do that.